Hopefully, the message will come out clearly this time. I guess I can preach the last one again if I need to. All right, it's good to have Pastor Ma'am Sandy here with us. Her daughter Jessica, just remember her traveling mercies as she goes back to Michigan. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Right, just praying, I'll think about and what the Lord would have for us tonight. So just, Lord, it's okay, just continue on. We'll finish, hopefully, finish the series tonight. If you go down to verse 8, last week I covered verses 6 and 7. All right, so we'll begin in verse 8. I'll read verses 8 and 9. The Bible says here, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And then verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen," this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Philippi, "in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Amen. All right, let's go ahead and let's bow and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we again thank you for this time. Thank you for your many blessings to us, and thank you for the good news of this couple that the woman is 2 weeks pregnant. We just pray for just a safe delivery of child, and just with the many months she'll be pregnant, I just pray you keep her healthy and strong, and the baby as well. Thank you again for our pastor who is here tonight, Miss Sandy and her daughter. Just pray, Father, you continue to just provide for their needs and for our pastor as he continues to recover. Just thank you for him. Thank you for each member here. And Lord, those who've stepped up and doing their part in helping in the church, we just pray and ask you'd help us to, again, know exactly what you want us to do, Father, for your service through a wagon wheel. And Father, we just pray if there's anyone here that has not by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray tonight will be the night of their salvation. Pray, Father, you'll challenge the believers well as we look into your word. And Father, we will not only be hearers, but doers of it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so according to something I read, they say that the average person has 10,000 separate thoughts each day. Every thought going through your mind. So that works out to be about 3.5 million thoughts in 1 year. Imagine that. You got 3.5 million thoughts a year. So if you were to live to about 75, and some of you are approaching that, or over that, it's okay. You have over 26 million different thoughts. And so every one of those 10,000 thoughts that we have each day, okay, represents a choice we make, a decision to think about this and maybe not about this. And so, but think about it, if you were given $10,000 this morning and you were told, okay, you spend the money the way you'd like to and you got to spend it all before you go to bed tonight, okay? And so you would think carefully, I hope you'd think carefully, about how you would spend it. And you'd think over about, okay, well, what I want to buy, this and that. And so the question is we'll probably most likely use that money wisely. I hope we would. And so the thing is how sad that we devote so much time to how we spend our money and so little time on how we spend our thoughts. And so how sad that one seems so important and the other so trivial. Yeah. And again, don't get me wrong, we got to budget and do stuff like that, but we also got to think about our own thoughts and our process. That's right. And so in Philippians chapter 4, as we continue this, and we'll see if the Lord will close this or not, in verses 4 to 9, remember that Paul writes about maintaining tranquility, peace, calmness in these verses 4 to 9. He has instructed the believers at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord, that's in verse 4, to be gentle to all men and to anticipate the Lord's nearness, in verse 5, he continues to urge believers to pursue one's peace and serenity through prayer in everything. We saw that last week in verses 6 and 7. And now we continue in verse 8, to maintain tranquility and calmness, we are commanded to think on these things. So we got to ask ourselves, what are the things that we are to think about? All right? So the title of the message, if you want to title this, and I know I got to get this to Brother Will later, is Thinking and Living the Right Way. Amen. Thinking and Living the Right Way. So number one, here I see here, is we are to think right. If you go back to verse 8, it says, finally, so Paul's coming to a close, not only in this chapter, but even in this epistle to Philippi, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. So again, finally, it says, this indicates that Paul has arrived to the climax of his teaching on a particular subject. Someone even referred to this as the climax of his teaching on spiritual stability. And then here it says he's talking to the brethren. So remember again that Paul's writing to the believers at Philippi, and also for you and I, it also applies to us, the church, and also to the child of God. So since worry and anxiety are conditions of the mind, we saw about that last week, verses 6 and 7, one of the best remedies is enabled by the Spirit who gives us the desire and the power to push aside with healthier thoughts, not to worry, not to have anxiety. Sure. Brother Will even touched on this in Sunday school as well. Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed or changed by the renewing or to make new or refreshing of our minds. And so that's one of the reasons that we need to memorize Scripture. Amen. Okay? And they've done that in school. And what more for the kids, also for us adults, we should do that as well. And so we do this by intentionally bathing our hearts and our minds with the truths of the Word of God so we can experience the Word of God's power in our own lives. And so to overcome worry, we need to meditate on what is excellent and praiseworthy. And so, quoting someone mentioned this, the Bible leaves no doubt that people's lives are the product of their thoughts. Whatever goes in the thought eventually comes in goes in our minds and eventually comes out of our lives. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, 8 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Even Jesus, he mentioned in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. You won't turn there for time's sake. You want to go through it, you can. But he points out some of the things that come out of man. Evil thoughts and adultery and so forth. And so it shows us that our own lives are a good indication of what goes into our thoughts and what goes into our mind. And eventually, if we don't check it, we don't confess it as sin, if it's sin, eventually it'll come into our hearts and it'll come out of our lives. And so Paul's call for biblical thinking is especially relevant even in our culture. See, people no longer ask, is it true? And we're seeing it now more than ever. But does it work? Or how will it make me feel? It's even sad, even in our own workplace, like, okay, you got to call them by this name. Like, that's not your name. Okay, I won't call you that, but I'll call you your name. How's that? You change your name to them, then I'll call you them. Okay, your name's not them. It's whatever, Mike, okay? So nowadays, truth is whatever works and produces positive emotions. But sadly, the church is often more concerned about whether something will be divisive or offensive than whether it is biblically true. And don't get me wrong, yes, we're to speak the truth in love, but sometimes we shun away because we'll compromise the truth so that we can sugarcoat or whatever it may be. We see that all over the world. See that in our workplace. We see that just out there, and sadly, it sometimes even has crept in the church. And so that is why it is vital, it is important that we guard our mind and what goes into it. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 20, 4, verse 23, to keep thy heart, or to guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. And so when our thoughts start to wander, we must take measures to get them back on track. I think it was mentioned even before, we need to self-examine ourselves. I think Brother Larry mentioned that. If we are thinking of something good, we cannot be thinking of something bad at the same time. Okay? So we can avoid unprofitable thoughts by choosing to think of things and what is profitable. Okay, and we have to be careful, because sometimes we may think it's good, but really it's not. Okay? So children, even adults, we have to be careful of what we watch, what we listen to. A lot of junk that's out there. But you got to filter a lot of things. And we got to filter, and again, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. But we can do it with the Lord's help. And so even in the 1960s, there was experimentation with mind-altering and mind-expanding drugs that was on the rise. Instead of opening up young, vibrant minds, there was drugs often shut them down and damaged the very instrument that God gave to process even the simplest aspects of everyday life. And we even have that today as well. And of all the ways to educate and stretch our minds, there's no more life-changing way than to give ourselves to the living Word of God and to the mind of Christ. We see that in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. So if we go back here to Philippians 4, 8. See, Paul gives us a list of things that we are to think about, which is related to the mind of Christ he has taught about in earlier in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. So first, we are to, number one, or letter A, we are to think on things that are true. It says, whatsoever things are true. So true means valid, it's honest, and it's reliable. Okay? So we're not to think on things that are false. Excuse me. So even through my own experience, when I go through a difficult situation, I understand that when I thinking of how bad things are in life, I would purposely think of how good things are actually in my own life. I'm a child of God, and that's true. I have a roof over my head, and that's true. I have clothes to wear and food to eat, and that's true. Sometimes more food than I should, but okay. All right. And we can go on and on about things, and I'll get rid of those things that are false and that are unreal. And so we can begin by excluding that which is false and thinking about whatsoever things are true. And so the simplest way to expose a crooked line is right next to it is to have a straight line. Okay? And so, never mind, I won't mention that one. Okay. So we should study Paul's approach to error in Galatians and Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, and other epistles. But he said as little as possible about what sounds good in appearance only of false teaching. Don't get me wrong, he warned people and the church about it, but just enough to highlight the general outlines. But then what he did is he simply expounded on the truth. Just like in Mars Hill, he said this and this and this, and then he finally just said, okay, this is the truth. Jesus Christ, he is the one, he's the truth, he's the life, and so forth. And so there was a ship that was making its way onshore to islands, and there was a lady on board, and she went to the captain of the ship, and she asked him, you know where the rocks and all these other things are? You know, because you might get too close. And he said, lady, you know what? I understand where the school of fish are and so forth, but instead what I do is I know where the deep water is. I'm not focusing on those things, but where the deep water is, where we need to go. And so here, the lady had the wrong focus. She was focusing on all the other negative things instead of what was the truth. And she was probably even she didn't even know anything about the deep water and so forth. And this guy who was the captain of the ship, he knew where to go. And so here, the thing is instead of us being preoccupied with other things of falsehood, we should turn our thoughts to things that are true. And again, when you go to the news, a lot of it, probably 99.9% now, is false. It's very difficult to try and filter all that out. But we know when we go to the Word of God, it's 100% truth. We have nothing wrong with the Word of God. So not only we are to think on things that are true, then it says we are to think on things that are honest. It says in verse 8, so whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. So honest being honorable or noble means worthy of respect. And so this comes from a word meaning to revere or to worship. And so in its other New Testament uses, it describes the dignified lifestyle required of a deacon, a deacon's wife, the aged and older men, as well in Titus 2:2, referring to the word grave. If you go back to the Greek, you can look it up yourself. If I'm wrong, let me know, okay? But honorable, that which are morally attractive. So we are not to think on things that are dishonorable, like trying to cheat our way or make our way to the top, whatever it may be. Remember, God will honor those who honor Him. And so that's what we got to do. We honor Him, we eat. And so do not let dishonorable things get into your mind. Don't we let that? Are there things that are not worthy of our respect? Things that are not worthy to occupy our mind? And so some things are not bad because they are not necessarily bad because they are vile. They're bad because sometimes they could be just silly and worthless. Okay? And so as even children, they gotta be very careful of entertaining silly thoughts. Even us adults. And we have to do what is honorable unto the Lord. Okay, not only that, but thirdly, we are to think on things that are just. Whatsoever things are just. Just refers to what is just and upright. It's straight opposed to what is crooked. So don't let the crooked thinking come into our mind. We got to ask ourselves, do I think straight? See, if there's other things that are preoccupying our mind, then we will not think straight. So anything that is unreliable or disrespectful or not right should not come into our minds. We got to think, is it right? So, again, there will be never real peace in relationships until we overcome our own inclination to think about only ourselves. This is opposed to what Christ, the mind of Christ, He thought about others. He thought about what was just and so forth. So not only were we to think about things that are just, but then it says, think on things that whatsoever things are pure. Okay? So this talks about cleanness and moral purity. It means free from contamination. What it was used for was to ask, like when they would sacrifice an animal, they got to make sure that it was pure. And so the same thing, when we come to the Lord as well, when we come to His house, we got to make sure we filter all those impure thoughts in our minds and come clean with Him and worship Him in spirit and truth and in So just like when if you take a glass and you have a glass of water and you put just a little pinch of dirt in it, it's no longer pure. And so the same thing when we get the dirt of the world in our own lives, we're no longer in a sense pure and our standing with the Lord, our fellowship is broken. And so Adrian Rogers mentioned this way, is it something that I should not be ashamed to offer to the Lord? Can I take this story? Could I take this movie? Could I take this friendship? And could I say, Lord, I worship You with it? Well, you say you're not supposed to worship God with everything. But He says, oh no, you're supposed to worship God with everything. The Bible says, whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, it says, do to the glory of God. So before we do that thing or whatever it may be, is it going to glorify the Lord? And so, again, is this relationship a relationship I could say, Lord, I offer to you anything that you could not offer to God, any relationship, any activity, any meal, any recreation or any business deal, don't let it into your mind. And if it does, again, just, you know, pray and ask the Lord to help you not to get into that. And sometimes very difficult, especially with the world we live in right now. It's getting worse and worse. But for the Christian, for the believer, we should get better and better. Amen. So there should be a difference between the unbeliever and the child of God, the Christian. So that's a problem. As the world goes this way, we tend to just be one step behind them. And so there's no difference. And so there's a problem there. But I praise the Lord for those pastors, one in some in Canada who stood up, said, no, you know what, we got to worship. And they took him to jail. And hopefully, Lord willing, he was able to minister to those in jail, just like Paul did when he was in jail. And so Paul, even at this time, he was in jail and he was able to minister to those around him. And so not only were to think on things that are pure, then also think on things that are, it says, lovely, whatsoever things are lovely. So lovely meaning what is agreeable and or pleasing. And so here it only appears here in the New Testament. So for us, the child of God, for the Christian, we must focus our thoughts on what the Bible says is pleasing and attractive, not in our eyes, but to the Lord. And sometimes we get things mixed up. Oh, this is pleasing. Well, you don't realize that, oh, it's pleasing to ourselves and not to the Lord.
That's right.
When we see that new Harley or whatever it is. Yeah. Oh, wow. Sorry, Lord. Sorry. Or whatever it may be, okay? So that's what we need to do. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says that love thinketh no evil. It puts a good face on bad appearances. And sixthly, we are to think on things that are of good report. Whatsoever things are of good report. So this refers to what is praiseworthy because it measures up to the highest standards. So this appears also only here in the New Testament. It describes what is highly regarded or well thought of. What's of good report? So whatever our calling of God has called you, whether in leadership, as a pastor, as a deacon, as a layperson, or whatever menial task, maybe those tasks that nobody sees, we got to make sure we're doing it to the highest standards, to what the Lord would have us to do. We might not be rewarded or well patted by someone here, but the Lord will tell us, well, no one saw it, but I saw it.
Amen.
So well done. And sometimes we forget about that. When we do stuff, we do things like, man, no one appreciates what I do. I sweep the rug. I do this. I pick up all these things so no one will step on whatever it may be. But remember, the Lord sees that as long as we're doing it unto Him and doing it for the Lord. Okay, so it says again, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And then it says here in verse 8b, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When it says think on these things, it's referring to things that are true previously, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report. And so here it says, for this, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, so whatever excellence exists and whatever praise it deserves and that which is approved by the Lord. And so it says to think on these things. So here the imperative form of to think on or to dwell on would be better, makes it a command. And so proper thinking is not optional in the Christian life. It's a command that we are to do. Just like we are to go out into all the world and to witness, to share the gospel when the Lord gives us the opportunity. A command that we are to rejoice. A command that's other commands as well. So it means more than just entertaining thoughts. It means to evaluate, to consider, and to calculate. So for the child of God, for believers, we are to consider the qualities that Paul lists in this verse and meditate on its implication. So the verb form here calls for it's a habitual discipline of the mind to set all thoughts on these spiritual virtues. And again, it's very difficult, but see, if we don't spend time in the Word of God, it's going to be impossible. Amen. We have to. It is a vital, important time. That's why when we come to church, when we hear the preaching of the Word of God, it's the Word of God.
Right.
When we go into Sunday school, we hear about the Word of God. But how about when we go home? Do we spend time in the Word of God?
Amen.
That goes for me too. And so the conditional clause structure, if there be any, at the end of this sentence, is a rhetorical device. It's a persuasive style of speaking here. It places the responsibility on the reader, those who are reading, to make his or her own decision regarding what is excellent and praiseworthy.
Amen.
See, no one will force you to do something against your will.
No.
Even if they... Maybe I shouldn't say it, but if they, even if they force you to do something, they may force you, but you can just say no. Paul said, okay, well, they said, no, don't longer speak in the name of Jesus. I think they told Paul and Peter and I think it was John. They said, well, they went out rejoicing and they spoke about Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's what the Word of God says. Threw him, they beat him, they threw him out of jail. Okay, you no longer speak about Jesus. Oh, well, they rejoiced and they spoke about Jesus. That's what the Bible said. And they did that. Very difficult to do. But as we looked even at John Bunyan, same thing, he kept preaching. He went to jail, he was able to witness to someone there. Eventually, because he had a good report in jail, he was able to go back and preach on Sunday, and he went back to jail because they said, well, we trust this guy. And so he had a good report, not only in his church, but also those who were in jail and those who locked him up and so forth. And so here we see we are to think right in verse 8. And also number 2, we are to live right. We are to live right in verse 9a. It says here, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen, it says in me, it says do. Okay? So the things that you have heard and learned and also received is not part of our lives if we don't change. We got to do it. We can receive all the instruction, but if we don't do it, it doesn't mean anything. Just like if you're to study to drive, you do it, oh, I know everything. And you don't go and perform it, doesn't mean anything. You don't get a license. And so just as an example, so these things you have learned, heard, learned, and received, it says, in me, do. Apply it. And so, don't just learn it, but you must receive it and apply them into our lives. The Word of God, that's what we need to do. Not only be hearers, but doers of the Word. So, Paul showed what it means to be an example. I heard it this way, the best gift that you can ever give another person is a good example. Sometimes you might not say something, but you may do and live a good example and others will follow. Just like for those of us who are teaching others, a lot of times they mimic what we do, especially those little ones. And so we got to be very careful how we conduct ourselves amongst people. They pick up our good traits and then, but also our bad traits, especially those of us who have children. Okay, so here, Paul organizes thoughts on this subject by constructing two pairs. Here, it says the Philippians had learned and received many helpful lessons from Paul, their teacher. The first pair here says learned and received describes the Philippians' instruction by Paul, from whom they had taught Christian doctrine and Christian living. He's indoctrinating them with this Christian living. And the next pair says heard and seen. So, or saw. It depicts their personal observation of the Apostle Paul. both his speech and his conduct. And because he had Timothy under his wing, Timothy saw a lot more than others probably would have saw. And so they had personally heard his verbal instructions and also seen his individual example, whether it was good or bad, but a lot of times it was good. He'd preach. He even one place where they actually stoned him to death. And I think I mentioned this before. And he went back there. It's like, you're crazy. But no, this is my example. I need to check on how the believers are doing there. Is anybody else doing it? No, if no one else, I'm going to do it. And so until the Lord would take him home, he would continue to serve the Lord. And so here it says, and it says, do. So they needed to put these things into practice, not just to think about them and to discuss them. They learned, they heard, they learned, they received, they saw it by his example. And now Paul's saying, now you got to do it yourself. I can't do what you're doing. You got to do it yourself. And I'm about to be martyred, so you got to pass on the faith to others. And so Yogi Berra, and you probably heard of him, is alleged to have said of baseball, half of this game is 90% mental. And so it is even more than that in our life as well. Our minds and our attitudes have a profound and a great effect in shaping the way we live. And so this even shapes the way our children live as well. Again, eventually they have their own thoughts and minds and what they're going to do. But again, a lot of things they get from us. Just like was mentioned before about the driving. Well, I don't know. Okay. All right. So, but they have their own choice. Once we're out of mom and dad's house, we have our own choice what we're going to do. And so it says again in Philippians 2, 5 to 8, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but says in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Mentioned this in Sunday school as well. We need to humble ourselves and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so by allowing Christ's mind with all its selflessness, its sacrifice, servanthood, humility, and patience to take a hold of our hearts, we need to take a mind, the mind of Christ and what he did, and live by his example. And so we do this by putting into practice some simple instructions for believers, such as we build up one another, we love one another, amen, we submit to one another. And again, love doesn't mean we just let everyone just walk all over us. No, okay? Sometimes we need to rebuke someone in love. We need to speak the truth in love. A lot of times I hear just love, love, love. No. Okay, if you really and I really love someone, we'd tell them the truth.
That's right.
Okay? One time I was at work, and I had something over here, and it was good. My coworker said, hey, Jeff, you got something here? Oh, so yeah, that's better for snack later. No, I'm kidding. But it's good he told me that because it was just hanging there on my teeth. And sometimes some people don't say anything and find out later, like, oh, man. I was like that all day, and everybody saw it. No one told me anything. Do they really love me? So if you see something on my face, just let me know. Hey, brother, hey, you look good, but you need to, or you look bad, and I don't know, whatever. So we need to look out for one another. And so, again, these verses, verses 4 to 9, they're really good verses to memorize. Not only to memorize, to meditate on as well. And they are verses that are the key to living the Christian life the way that God wants us to live. And so again, yeah, not just that, but even the whole Bible, we need to read, we need to take it in, we need to think about it, dwell on it, consider it. And just like what Pastor says, sometimes a message comes up with that too. Brother Larry, probably the same thing. Brother Jose, Brother Will, come up with a message like, wow, okay, the Lord's teaching me something right there. And so, again, going back to this, number one, we are to think, right. Number two, we are to live right. And number three, the result of thinking and living right. In verse 9b. So it says again, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And here, the result is, and the God of peace shall be with you. You do those things, this is the result. You don't do them, this is not the result. So, right praying in verses 6 and 7 and right thinking in verse 8 should lead to right living in verse 9. And the result is in verse 9b, the God of peace shall be with you. And so, obviously, God is always with his people, don't get me wrong. It says there in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But Paul's phrase is a way of saying that they would experience God's presence by enjoying the peace that comes when we walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can even cross-reference it in verse 7. It says in verse 7, it says, the peace of God. The peace of God says in verse 7 right there. And then it says in verse 9, and the God of peace. It's interesting how that goes in and ties in together. And so, and it will establish their minds in right thinking and will aid them in their every high and noble endeavor. And so the key to godly living really is godly thinking. Starts with the mind. Anything thought that goes into our minds, we gotta check it, okay? It's right, goes in our heart, now comes out of our life. It's wrong, okay, I'm having trouble with that, I need to confess it as sin. Okay, I need to think on these other things. And so we are responsible for our own thoughts. I'm not responsible for your thoughts, you're not responsible for my thoughts. You can't force me to think a certain way, you might highly persuade me, I may highly persuade you, but eventually we have our own mind to think the way we want to think. And so that is why it is vital that we fill our minds with the Word of God. And so we have to also start when they're very young, because a lot of countries, that some that are anti-America, they start when they're very young. So when they're old, it's already ingrained in their mind. They still have a mind to think, but it's already ingrained, hate America or whatever. And so we got to start with ourselves and with our children, and we need to indoctrinate them in the right thinking, in the right learning, and in the right living. Again, once they're old enough, we've taught them. Now, what's the result of it? And so here, Paul urged five things in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. He wanted the believers at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always, putting up with all people, praying about anything, thinking about wholesome things, and practicing with his teaching as well. So the same way with you and I, we are to rejoice in the Lord. We are to put up with people. We are to pray about anything and everything, think about wholesome things, and put into practice the things that we have learned, according to the Word of God, not the bad things, okay? Let me get that straight. And so, when you even look at verse 6, again, when you pray right, in verse 8, you think right, and verse 9, you live right, again, it leads to God's peace being with you. Verses 7 and verse 9. Again, verse 7, 8, and peace of God, verse 9b, and the God of peace. And so, going back to what I said earlier, again, the average person has an average of about 10,000 different thoughts a day. So about 3.5 million thoughts a year. And so we got to ask ourselves, what do we think about? Are our thoughts pleasing to the Lord? Is it bad thoughts? Is it good thoughts? What do we think about others? Is it bad thoughts or good thoughts? And if it's bad thoughts, we got to check ourselves and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Someone may have cut us off and gave us, we're number one, okay? Yeah. Even the other day, somebody gave me number one. I was like, man, okay. And I think I was on the wrong, but I just said, okay. He was I think, cursing me. Okay, all good, go ahead. Guy was pretty big, looked like 300 pounds. Wow, okay, don't want to deal with him, right? Hey, Brother Jose can. But are our thoughts pleasing to the Lord? And at that time, I was a little bit scared, but at the time, I was like also angry too. I said, okay, Lord, you know. And I had to think, okay, maybe I was wrong. And later I realized, yes, I was. And so if we could have every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If everyone would please stand, and maybe the Lord is dealing with you. And you know, again, the Lord always deals with us. You know, again, it all starts with our thoughts. What do we think throughout the day? What are we thinking right now? Again, we got to think of thoughts that are good, that are wholesome, that are honorable to the Lord. Again, a lot of times we can be selfish. Again, it's not just for you. This is also for me as well. As the piano's playing, maybe the Lord has spoken to you. You know,